Ezekiel 33. What does Ezekiel mean?
God is our strength.
So if God is our strength, it doesn't mean you're born again. But he does that. It means you actually have the capacity through Jesus Christ to finish the law, not just to begin it, chair 4, but to die, chair 5, so that you can live the resurrected life through chair 6, loving your neighbor as yourself. So 4 is, I can love the Lord my God because he's my strength. That's true. But I also can die by his strength when I'm weak, then he's strong. But I also can live the resurrected life after death to love my neighbor as myself. That's finishing the law. He will not come back until his people have finished the law. He's not going to come back. And so, since he does all three of those, 4, 5, and 6, you're perfected. You're not perfected just because he died for you. You have a new heart. You're not perfected just because you also take up your cross daily and follow him. You're perfected because you love your neighbor as yourself. Then he knows, you finished the whole course. You're perfect. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. And what's peculiar about Christianity, the religion that we believe in, which is the only religion, is it's not your righteousness. It was his all along. He didn't want you to obey him. He didn't want you to obey him. Everyone's interested in their behavior. Behavior isn't anything. It's nothing. You're not saved by works of the law. So you're not under any burden. You have nothing to prove to God. Be yourself. And now he's given you faith in him to be born again, new heart. Faith in him that when you go through the chastening, through the instruction, through the Torah, you rejoice because you have hope. You have faith, now you have hope. But the greatest of these is love. And the love is for your neighbor. I love God with all my heart and all my strength, 4. But I also am able to die, 5, so that I can love through him. To God be the glory. That's amazing. That is thanksgiving. You really have thanksgiving. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. But then it doesn't stop. And into his courts with praise, and into the Holy of Holies, where I'll live forever and ever and ever. World without end. That will never end. And this was God's equity. Equal to the fact that God originally saved you so that you could die, so that you could live in Christ forever. It's so simple. And that's what irks people. Because everybody in their psychological self, in their psychology, their will, their mind, their emotions, their flesh, wants to perfect themselves, improve themselves. So Peggy and I were talking about that in the car. She tried to behave in such a way that she wouldn't sin. But something happened. She kept sinning, especially after he got married to me. I mean, it was coming out. She was angry, and I wasn't a good Baptist. I wasn't a good Christian. And she couldn't understand, how can you be happy? You do all the same things you used to do. Well, I don't do that part. Jesus does that part. I'm living by a promise, not by a law. Well, it's not going to happen. You haven't even started. Well, I'm never going to start. It's a non-start program. Right? It's all been done. It was done 2,000 years ago. Yay, 6,000 years ago. When he lived your life for you. Perfect. He didn't do that on the cross. He just shed the blood on the cross so that you would never face the second death because of your misbehavior. Oh, he did take care of it. But he did it by killing you. Chair 5. So I want to read about that in Ezekiel. But I want you to know that he will... This is Psalm 98. I believe it's verse 8. 98:8. Where it says, he will judge the world. God will judge the world in righteousness. So the whole world, unbelievers, believers, the whole world will be judged in righteousness. Because it isn't your righteousness that makes you righteous. It's his righteousness that makes you righteous. Can you see that? That's so powerful. Your righteousness is not your own. Even if now you're acting righteously, that still will not get you to heaven. It's not perfect. And it won't be perfect till he comes back. Because that's by sight. It's not by sight now. It's by faith. You can't see Abraham, to whom the promise was given. He's still waiting. It isn't through anything, but Jesus Christ finished by his blood, not the blood of goats and bulls, not the blood of you perfecting yourself, not the blood of you having the right sacrifice to offer. You didn't do anything, and that will not get you into heaven. But when he comes back, you'll be like him, spirit, soul, and body. And you'll actually feel love. Today you can't say, I feel love for someone. Well, that's probably your flesh. Not probably, it is definitely your flesh, since he hasn't come back. So don't even wish for, hope for, I will today be able to have a perfect life. It's not possible. That's our message. It's not like the faith message, even though they have the right words. And they do. They have the right words. Be happy and so on. Power of the Spirit. All of that. It's not wrong. It's wrong only if you misunderstood it. If you're just simply born again and filled with the Spirit. You have to be filled, which means emptied. If you fill a glass that's full of air and you fill it with water, it's not full of air. It's full of water. You have to be washed, not only forgiven, but washed, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, which normally people don't wash in blood. Well, some people probably do. Yeah, but it won't cleanse you, because the goats and bulls and turtle doves and whatever else you bring, the Lamb, that won't cleanse you. But then he perfects you in love. Faith is gone, hope is gone. This is the latter part of the law. And you're not going to go to heaven unless you have the latter part. No one is going to go there with one stain, with one spot, with one wrinkle. So you're already there, Willis. You're already there by faith. You don't feel it. You don't have to. Fight against the feeling. Fight against the pain that's in your body. Fight against the suffering you're going through right now. Gee, I don't see it. Yeah, well, you have to fight against that and say, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Not until he comes back. Then the promise is fulfilled. Then Jesus has kept his full word. We don't live by one word, born again, or even keeping law, which doesn't work. You're born by all, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God continually. Present, active, indicative, the most real grammatical statement, the closest to reality. I am saved, but that's past. I am being saved, but that's present. But it actually, in the Bible, says, if anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So that's true, and it's true right now. I have a new heart, but I don't have a new soul until I'm completely dead. And you're not completely dead. You're in the coffin, perhaps. You're even laying down, but your hands are outside hoping they don't actually bury you with dirt on you. And you're being buried. But then the gospel is that he died, and then he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. You cannot rise unless you're dead. So you have to be buried. And so that's the gospel. That's the good news. So in baptism, we drown people, and then we raise them up, and so on. They went down, died. You're being baptized into his death. But when you rise up, you're baptized unto life. And so they come out, and it's celebration. We always give a shout when people come out of the water. Because when they come out of the water, that is, they, not symbolically, but actually, they're living the gospel, and they can be happy from that moment on. You were baptized. Do you remember that? That was in a lake. I like lakes. I like lakes.
We baptized somebody in a clawfoot tub.
You did?
Baptized, yeah. Deep
bed.
What?
One of the big
ones. Really? Oh, that's a good one.
Great in the baptism.
Yeah. Praise God. So the water, it doesn't amount whether it's a river or a lake. It doesn't matter what it is. The water doesn't save you. I mean, I know it says that, but the water itself doesn't save you. It's your faith that God keeps his word, that he loves you unconditionally. Anyway, so the latter part, and God doesn't judge you by your deeds. What he judges the deeds that prove that you were righteous. And that's equity. Mishpat Tzadik is Mesharim. So the equity, the equal to the fact that God originally intended for you to be saved, you cannot argue when you read the scripture. It's in the 18th chapter of this Ezekiel. I didn't come to condemn anybody. I came to save people that are condemned. That's my whole point in coming, was to save people that are ungodly, wicked, can't stop sinning, and can't start doing what's right. Your conscience won't help you. It can tell you what's right and wrong, but it needs to be schooled. Conscience itself will not take you to heaven. Everybody knows there's right and wrong. Everybody. Everybody. And everybody will say one day, knees will bow, tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody. Whether they're Christian or not. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because they'll see it. They'll actually see it. At the great white throne judgment, they'll actually see, wow, he has all the angels and, you know, all the saints of the Old Testament, New Testament, he's got everything. That guy is God. Buddha, you failed me. And they'll, you know, Allah, you did not come through. All the other gods are no gods at all and never will be. You have the only religion. And the way we teach it here, it's not unique. It's just in the Bible. It's nothing interesting. It's just in the Bible. God keeps his promises. But we live by promise. A promissory note is something you have in your hand, and it has words on it, that someday God's going to give you the land, someday God's going to give you your kingdom back, someday, you know, God will blah, blah, blah. But the promise has to wait for the fulfillment of. There's an experience that predecedes, that is a condition that has to be met. When Jesus comes back, that'll be the condition. When he comes back, he will come back for vengeance. He's not coming back just to marry his bride, just to restore the kingdom to Israel. He's coming back to do away with the wicked forever and ever. So it soon you'll see it with your own eyes. Everyone will see it. That's why they can say, he's the Lord. this guy is he fulfilled everything he said. We have been believing lies. And everyone will know it. And they, with their own mouth, they'll confess, say the same thing as God says. He's Lord. That'll be powerful. It isn't pride on our part. Ours is total humility, thank God. And hopefully you're praying for the enemies. You're praying for people that hate you. You're praying for people that don't deserve mercy. You didn't. It's not hard to pray for people that need mercy, right? But equity is missing in the law today. Equity is the foundation of all law. Equal to the fact that God originally intended it and effected it in Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what the law is all about. Today, you're living by statutes, whether you know it or not. What are the latest three statutes, you know? How did the Supreme Court, or how the Supreme Court of Texas, or how did somebody's court say, well, let's see what other men have said. You cannot live by statutes. Statutes are inferior, subordinate. And so all law today is done by statutes. They believe in the Constitution, but it's mere head knowledge. Even one judge has said to me, I know what's right. We're not allowed to do it. We have to follow the statutes. I know the Constitution is supreme. It says so, and I believe it. And I secretly want to do that, but I have to do what the law says. So there's no equity. There's no the intention, and there's no conscience. Your conscience is completely uneducated. And when you're a Christian, you educate your conscience. Don't feel this, just do it. Conscience says, just do it. Don't feel this. Don't understand this. Don't even want this. Just do it. Why? Because the doing is proof that you believed his word. And when you do that, there's blessings. Immediately God will multiply what you just said. Well, you have to wait. Of course, you have to wait. Sometimes you say something and you don't see it immediately. And that's deliberate on God's part. He wants your faith to grow. God, I just prayed for this and it didn't happen. And so faith healers and all the people that believe that it's a, come here and you'll be healed. Yeah, well, that, it's not 100%. I've been at Andrew Womack's meetings. It's not 100%. In the back, there'll be four, you know, ladies in wheelchairs. And they didn't get healed. But three people did. Why worry about the three that didn't, or four that didn't? Praise God. I believe healing took place, but I don't believe it's all immediate. Some, you know, I don't know. I'm not God. But I don't feel, well, he spoke wrong. I don't feel he spoke wrong. He just encouraged some people to believe, and they did. And it's miraculous. Nobody can deny that. And in Jesus' case, wherever he went, he did miracles. But one place he went and he didn't do any miracles. Do you remember that? He went to one place. He said, I don't find any faith here. And so, you know, someone had to come to him and make a case. I know you're good. But sometimes it says, and from that hour he began to heal. Okay, so there's time. Not everything happens right away. And people judge you because you're a Christian. You said that, 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 and it didn't happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And it isn't somebody's fault. Who sinned, this man or his parents? It's a great question, but the answer is not those things. It's just that the glory of God might be revealed. But you might have to wait sometimes, right? Yeah. So I totally believe in healing, even though I don't always see it. Yeah. I don't believe that people lied. I believe that they had faith, and they spoke in faith. And there was multiplication. But it isn't always seeing all of it at once. Otherwise, everyone would be a Christian just out of, you know, either fear or love. I want to be a Christian, if that's going to happen like that. But God is growing his people up and getting rid of your sin. So even having the deeds, which he's going to judge, but he's going to judge them in righteousness. The whole world will be judged in righteousness. Not your righteousness, Christ's righteousness. So they'll be judged left hand. But we will be judged in equity, which is the foundation of all law. You skip equity in the Texas, they go by the statutes. And they don't care what the Constitution says. They don't read the Bill of Rights. They don't want to deal with it. They just want the statutes. And the statutes are man-made, so you'll never be perfect. So they deliberately do that to deceive everybody. And you have to say, Mother, may I, to the government. How many know you're not under the government?
That's right.
You're under grace. Amen. You're not under the government. So we Christians, we're not looking to the world to bless us and benefit us. How many know the government doesn't have any benefits to give you? The government has no benefits to give you. What benefit do they have? What property do they have? What power do they have? It was all given by the people. It was given by the people. So this is not their government. It's the people's government. Of the people, by the people, for the people. We're the beneficiaries of everything. So it isn't the government. The government's subordinate. But the government likes to say it has benefits to offer you. Can't offer you anything. It can't perfect you and it can't send you to heaven. By the way, the government doesn't make churches. It doesn't perfect you. It doesn't rebuke you. It doesn't teach you. It doesn't marry you. It has no way to make you perfect. But God does. So since government can't make you a church, then all the churches today are not churches. They're just simply, you know, Mother, may I? Can I do this? Is that too much? Did I do too much? But we're not like that. I'm not like that. Just do whatever God says and don't worry about what statutes it breaks. How many know Jesus broke the law? Over and over and over and over again. And they killed him. I mean, that's, you have to kill a malefactor. He has to be someone who did something serious. But no one could ever accuse him of any sin. Even the Jews couldn't. And so they just bribed Caesar's man to say, we have no king but Caesar. The Jewish people can't even say that. They knew they were looking for a Messiah, but they just decided this one wasn't it. So they killed him. How many know they broke the law? They broke the natural law, the revealed law. They broke the common law. They wrote every kind of laws there are. But Jesus always deliberately healed on the Sabbath. He deliberately did it. He even said, are you angry because I healed on the Sabbath? Which one of you has a sheep and it falls into a ditch and you don't pull it out? For economic reasons, you want to pull that sheep out. It has nothing to do with anything. You do it, you hypocrites. You understand what I'm saying? So human law will never save anybody. Man-made law. Man in his best state is altogether
vanity.
Nothing. Zero. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by Jesus' work on your behalf.
Amen.
In your stead. For your benefit. Advantage. Profit. Wow. That's a Jesus we have. So every word in the Bible is actually a promise. Every word in the Bible is actually a promise. I don't care what the form looks like. It looks like a law. Yes, it is a law for Jesus. Did you know that Jesus fulfilled every law? So since he fulfilled every law, everything that In fact, he didn't even do it on the cross. He did it not even by his life. He did that before the foundation of the world. He lived your life for you. He fulfilled everything. Do good, avoid evil. He did that for you. Now that's your life. Jesus is who you are in God's sight. Jesus is who you are. So his alien righteousness, his foreign righteousness is all I need. Okay. Did y'all understand any little bit of what I just said? I said a lot of words, but I just said it because it's good news.
Hallelujah.
I don't forget it. I never am caught off guard. I'm happy all the time because this is good news. Now, 33rd chapter. Ezekiel. All right. So, I'm going to begin at thirteen. Behold, therefore, this is God speaking, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain. This is speaking to businessmen. Oh, am I in the wrong place? Oh, that's 22. Sorry. Let's see. Oh, 20s. I'm supposed to be in the 30s. I put my little string in the wrong place. Did you know the Holy Spirit's tied to this string? I don't let him go too far away from the Bible. Okay, now, that's why I couldn't find which verse it was. All right, 33, let's see. I studied this all night. It's got to be here. Okay. This is an interesting chapter, but it's not the one I read. Maybe it is back there. Try again. No, that's not it. Well, I studied this all night long. No, it's not a problem. It's in the Bible. Whatever it is, it's in the Bible.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you know it won't hurt to read anything. maybe it is 34. Maybe it's 34. Okay. As a shepherd, verse 12. I didn't think this Bible, I'll tell you, I could open any page in the Bible and come up with the same message. Because it's all good news. It's all good news. So don't be worried about the fact that I studied all night. I'm not sure I'm finding it, but this is a good one. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, 34:12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I, God, seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Like today. It's like today. In the shadow, in the darkness where my people are scattered. He's talking spiritually here. He's not talking physically. He's talking about the darkness that's in this world. There's darkness everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's darkness. I mean, it's something you couldn't rejoice about seeing. And so there's everywhere you go. So what? What does the Bible say about bad guys? Fret not.
Because of evil doers.
Well, that sounds like you shouldn't fret. You shouldn't worry about Al-Qaeda. You shouldn't worry about the homosexual agenda. You shouldn't worry about, you know, corrupt businessmen. You shouldn't worry about anything. Just do what he told you to do. Worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And since you can't, Jesus did it for you.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And him is the one that saves you.
Amen.
That him, Jesus, is my life. He is my righteousness. He's my joy. He's my peace. So, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Okay, who are you? Are you his sheep or are you goats?
Sheep,
yeah. So he likes sheep. Why? Because they're totally helpless. We're totally dependent upon God for every breath we take. We're dependent. We're not independent. We may be independent from the rest of the world, but we're not independent of God. So striking independence is very good. Don't be dependent upon anyone else except God. And so we said Santa Anna shouldn't rule Texas, 1836. And we defeated him after the Alamo in a couple of weeks. We defeated him. 18 minutes, he was finished. And he did try to come back several times, but he never was able to again do anything. He was totally defeated forever and ever. Same with Britain. Britain has wanted to take us back financially in every kind of way, but they can't do it. Once God wins a victory, that's it. Once he wins a victory, that's it. And so now America is free, right? We're free for what reason? There's where people make a mistake. To make money. You can't serve God and mammon. So I've decided not to serve mammon. Anyway, if you're a pastor, you're poor. So that's the whole trick. Unless God blesses you anyway. And, you know, sure enough, he'll give you wisdom and favor and so on and so forth. So praise God. It's amazing. So just be faithful. Don't count the sheep like David counted his people, because he got balled out for that. Hey, you didn't seek me on that one. You wanted to know. I want to know how many soldiers I had. I wanted to count. Don't count. Don't count. Just leave it alone. Don't worry how many people you have. They're not your people. They're not David's people. They're not anyone's people. You belong to God. You're his sheep. His, not. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. He purchased you. I mean, top dollar. What is Raul worth?
Jesus.
I think $2 billion. Wow. Sounds good to me. Pay that to my wife. What is Willis worth? What's he worth? You know, $2 billion. How many of you know that you're not worth anything? But if God says you're worth $2 billion, he'll buy you full price. Whatever it is, he's going to buy you. You cannot figure out what you're worth in the eyes of God. So he had to come and reveal that to us. You're worth everything to me. Everything. I mean, the whole world just built around you. If the church weren't here, there'd be no world. If the church disappears, the world is over.
Amen.
The whole reason that this world exists is to bless me. Right? Do you understand? Not commercially. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We have all those things. And I'm already happy just because of that. But God also knows your needs, and he can take care of all the things the Gentiles seek. Whatever they want, don't worry about that. God will supply that. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Not just on the earth, but the heavenly riches, those are more precious than gold. Emeralds. Your family is something precious to you. Right? Your family. Because they've been committed to your trust, to your care. How many know that God is not a respecter of persons? Because sometimes he'll put children in awful homes. Hypocrites. That's all he's got. And so, I remember, you know, he gave us four kids and all that stuff. And they're perfect. But it's only because I taught them faith. You got to have faith. You cannot perfect yourself or find happiness here. You don't. If you look for happiness, you're going to find misery. You'll be wretched. If you try to keep the law, you're going to find misery, wretchedness. Poor, blind, naked. Misery. All of that is anybody that seeks for happiness will never find it. Absolutely, I guarantee that. But if you seek for truth, truth will set you free, and you'll be happy. The truth sets you free. When you have the truth, you're free. That's what you want, eternal life. And he doesn't start out with behavior. He starts out with not the works of the law. He starts out with new heart. He goes right to the heart of the matter. I'm going to give you a new heart down here in your what they call the bowels of mercy inside of us. Anyway, God wants to bless you so that you're happy every minute of every second of every day. Yes. Now, I don't want to ask for testimonies here, but how many are relatively speaking happy all the time? Yeah, that's good. Very good. And so, it's by faith. So you don't actually see it. But someday you'll see it, because it's a promise, built on a promise. You have a promissory note from God, and he always fulfills whatever he promises. So we have this good God. So you're his sheep. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them. That the people is goy. The goy are non-Jews. I will bring them out from the people. And he's going to literally do this. But it wasn't in 1947, 48. That wasn't the time. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel. By the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. So, the Jews, whether anyone believes it or not, they have a bright future. They have a bright future.
Amen.
Because of God's equity. He has to be equal to the fact that he intended to bless Israel in the land of the living, not just in heaven. I know Abraham's going to go to heaven and all that kind of stuff. He's in paradise today. I've seen his, you know, tomb, Sarah's tomb, and all those tombs in Israel. I spent quite a bit of time just looking at all the tombs that are there. Jacob is there, all kinds of. Joseph bones are there. They're all there in this big building, huge building. And it's in a place nobody wants to go. It's in the West Bank. And there's no hotels there. There's no candy shop. There's nothing there. There's nothing. It's just desolate. But there's this huge building. I mean, like four stories tall. I mean, I don't know, three stories tall. I don't know how tall it is, but it's really big. And it's big in every way. In fact, it's like a cube. So it's as high and as wide and so on. So it's like a cube right out there. That's the most sacred ground for Jewish people. Why? Abraham's bones are there. Sarah's bones are there. Everybody's bones are there, except Rachel. Rachel, her bones are somewhere else, because she perished in a place, and she did her body is not there. And King David is not there too. In fact, there are many others, but those are the patriarchs. Those are the founding fathers. They made this city that is heavenly on earth. Heavenly on earth. Wouldn't it be great if Texas were heavenly on earth?
Amen.
Yeah. God could do that because of his sense of humor. He could make this the only hope for America. No, he could. We have in our rainy day fund, all the other states combined don't have what we have in our rainy day fund. All of the other ones. All of them. And it's been that way for quite a while. Is it oil and gas and so on and so forth? Yeah, it is, but that's not the reason. The reason is they made good decisions on that. Hey, in case, you know, Katrina happens again or whatever happens again or, you know, whatever. Let's have something set aside as a government. Let's spend less on these items and let's have a rainy day fund that we can protect ourselves if anything goes wrong. So, because we have that much, you know, piled up in a treasure room, we actually can take care of things. And I'm sure it collects a lot of money. $10 billion, that's kind of like Trump. I don't know what real number is. I only know what they publish. You say he's worth this and worth that. But after they impeach him and kill him, he won't have anything. Right? But what if they don't? What if God keeps him alive? What if God has a vote? How many know? Maybe God has a vote. Maybe he wants him to keep going until he's finished his promise. Remember all the stuff he promised and walls and so on. And right now it doesn't look like he's having too much progress. And people are completely confused by this guy because he's smiling all the time. He's always smiling. It's like, hey, give more problems. Yeah, just give me more problems. He loves to solve problems. Everybody hates you. The Republicans hate you. The Democrats hate you. The Libertarians hate you. Everybody hates your guts. Yes, he's excited. You never see him. He just keeps doing all that he does in spite of everything that's against him.
Yeah. Praise God.
And he's been naughty. Have you ever noticed this about Trump? He's just really a human being. Yeah. He just speaks like he's a billionaire for Bubba. You know, I mean, he just like speaks regular language. Well, fool you on that guy. You know, he just says whatever he wants to say. And people hate it. They don't realize that while he's making those little tweets that keep him busy for days, he's off doing all the things that he promised to do. And so they don't realize it was a big trick because he knows exactly what stirs them up. Yeah, just I'll say this. And what he's saying, he'll back up. If he says something, he has more evidence that you know about. He is the president. If he wants to release all the documents that are, you know, confidential and so on and so forth, he can do that anytime he wants. And apparently, he's already decided to do it. But he's not going to fire Sessions until after the election. But he might not mean that. He might mean, I'm not going to fire him at all. You never know what this guy's talking about. Because he can word it in such a way that you misunderstood what he actually said. What if he likes the guy? What if they're actually working together?
Right.
Because have you noticed you haven't seen Sessions in the newspapers lately? You don't ever know what he's doing. Why didn't he quit or, you know, do what he says or whatever? Because he has all the power. He can just fire him anytime he wants to. But what if they actually have something going and it's till after the election? That's what he's talking about. After the election, then he'll make a decision. And that's what he said. I'll make a decision after the election. And the decision is, yeah, keep staying. You're doing good. Because he's actually getting rid of M16 or whatever it is. What's that? Bad guy group and whatever. And he's keeping his ICE people and so on and so forth. And so he's having a ball, actually, just like I always have. You know, when you're a Christian, you have a... yesterday we saw the Supreme Court Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas. And he said, this is what closing words after big speech he said. And you know, I want to thank my wife, named her and so on. She's sitting right there. And he said, it's been a hoot. We have a blast. He said, forget all the stuff I do and so on. You know, the whole point of it is you have to love your wife. Exactly what I preach. I love it. It's great. It's been, and he must have said that 3 or 4 times. I don't know why he's emphasizing it. It's been a blast. And he's funny. You always see him on the, standing stiff like this, like, you know, he's not really sweating anything. And that's what he shared. And he was funny as all get out. I've never seen him smile or crack a joke because he's a Supreme Court justice and you have to have the dignity and so on and so forth. But when you meet him in person, he's just like a person. Just talks regular talk. Well, I don't know anything about that. You know, he's just like, that's exactly how he is. And I think he's one of the oldest, and he just seems like he's keeping going. And a lot of his people were here. It was in Fort Worth. A lot of his people are here that he's trained over the years. And he apparently has trained over 20 clerks that work for him and has given them his philosophy or his way of doing things. And they're powerful. Yeah. And David, you would have loved it yesterday because they spoke on religious liberty. I mean, it was awesome. And we got a lot of friends out there that are brilliant. So, you know, it may be what you see is not what really going on.
Amen.
It could be that we're being blessed. And here's, I'm gonna write a book right now. I'm already writing it. But about the next 1,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to know. I want everyone to know what the Bible says about the next 1,000 years. Well, and I'll tell you, for us, it's going to be joyful. It's going to be awesome. Not only the end thing, go to heaven and so on and so forth, but just even now, it's going to be awesome. Why? Because, first of all, he's going to marry his bride. That's one thing that's going to happen. But that's only after the tribulation. So there's no pre-trib thing or in the middle of the trib thing. Nuh-uh. That trib is to punish Israel for doing what we're reading about here. And he's talking about it right here. I'm gonna gather them from all nations. That's what he's talking about. That's the day he's talking about. That'll be a bright day when he comes home and gathers all the Jewish people that are saints. But the tribulation cleanses them from all their sins. Did you know that the Jewish people sin? Are you aware of that? Jewish people sin. Well, kind of like us.
Yes.
Exactly like us. They're people. And so even though they say we're, you know, keeping the law and they're always bowing before the Western Wall and so on and so forth and doing all kinds of things, it's all sinful and it's all worthless. Because they're trying to keep the law. You can't perfect yourself. You can't improve yourself. You are what you are. How many know you just are what you are? And it's pitiful. It's pitiful. But don't go by that. Go by the equity, which is his promise, Mesharim. Go by the equity which redeems the law from doing an injustice so that the law can never condemn you. By the way, equity never destroys the law. It only reinterprets it that it's equal to the thing that God intended in the first place. So all laws, all statutes actually serve God's purposes. But you have to read them right. And if you don't know what equity is, because they erased it. So that people are now it's case by case and so on and so forth. They don't follow the Constitution. The Constitution is worthless now. Because if you can't read it with equity, the spirit of the law giveth life, right? The letter of the law killeth. But they killed Jesus. That's all. Because if I'm subject to death, let Jesus do it for me. Yahoo! That's really exciting. I can't die. I can die biologically, but I'll just be resurrected right away. Because he said he'll never leave me or forsake me. So even Jesus. Jesus can't leave me. So I'm spiritual. How many of you are spiritual? Yeah. You're born of the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. You're led of the Spirit. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. And so, wow, everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Everything's going our way. Everything is for us. This world only exists to bless us. It's not going to bless wicked people. It's only going to bless the righteous. But we're righteous by not being righteous. We're righteous by borrowing it from Jesus, who died in my stead, on behoof of me, on behalf of me. He did all that. I wouldn't do that if I were God. I wouldn't love a sinner. And he only picks sinners. You have to be a sinner. How many here have an inkling that you are not yet perfect? That's a little evidence that you're not yet perfect. You're right. I can confirm that today. You're right. You are not perfect. And you know what? You never will be on your own. So just don't even waste time doing all the things you're supposed to do, because you don't go to heaven by it. It's very clear. You're not only forgiven for all your sins. He says to you, you have to be ungodly for me to offer this offering. This offering is only go to people that couldn't pay their rent, people that couldn't pay their bills, people that couldn't cough it up to be perfect or whatever. It's not given to people that are righteous. Jesus said that. Do not think that I came for the righteous. That means self-righteousness. I came for sinners who repent. And repent doesn't mean what you think it means. Stop sinning and start doing right. That's not repentance. That would be keeping the law. No, no, no. Nobody has ever done that. What this is saying is comfort yourself. Nacham. N-A-C-H-A-M. Nacham is the same thing as enter his rest. It's the same thing as not doing any work. Because you don't work on the outside. You can work on the outside. He's not talking about that. He's talking about on the inside. Don't ever worry. Fret not. Don't worry about anything. Everything's being taken care of by God. Are you not blessed? Is everyone here not blessed? I mean, you're alive. How many here are alive? Almost everybody. So that's a blessing right there. If I were God and the wages of sin is death, you all should be dead, and I should be dead. But I'm speaking to an alive people. Did you know that when you die, you're not dead? Your son is still alive. Amen. Isn't that powerful? So he's still alive. He can't be dead because he's a believer.
Amen.
And that's it. He counts that as righteous because you believe he's good and you're not. You believe he's good and you're not. If you believe that, you're good. And he counts that as good. You aren't really, but he counts that as good. And then he promises that the good work he began in you, he will surely, certainly complete, finish.
Hallelujah.
Fulfill. Yeah. There you have it. So this is fun. This is actually fun. And this temple that he's going to build, this temple is all for us, and we're the temple. You're actually the temple. And I will feed, verse 14, them, chapter 34, 14, Ezekiel. I will feed them in good pasture. Wow. That's what you're doing today. You're out to pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall be their fold. And there they shall lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. So, that's his people Israel. Now you can see they have a bright future. How many know that the Jewish people, some will perish, but most believers in Israel who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they'll go to heaven just equal to us. And they were chosen because Abraham actually asked the question, gee, I don't even have a son. What good is blessing me if I'm not going to have a son to hand it to? But right now, I have a servant. Then later he got Hagar to give him a son, Ishmael. And you can see what problems that made. And we're still fighting those people. And that is not going to end until Jesus comes back again. How many know that the Allah people who believe in Allah, have pretty much taken over Moab and Ammon and Esau, Edomites and so on. Pretty much taken over that thing, and Philistines and all those people. Canaanites, basically. But they'll perish, but after he judges you, he always saves a few. I don't know if you've noticed about God. He's a remnant guy. He loves the leftovers. Hey, save that. We're going to eat that tomorrow. You know, put some soup on it or something like that. He'll fix it up. I mean, no, there's no leftovers. No. With God, he always loves the remnant. So not every Christian today is hot like we are. We're passionate about God. Amen. He's my whole life. Karen, is he your whole life?
Definitely.
That's good. I got one customer. Anyone else, perfect. You couldn't be happier.
Amen.
Faith. Yeah.
Amen.
Just say it by faith. Amen. You don't have to believe it. Just say it by faith. And that takes an act of faith. Say it by faith. That is an act of faith. Right there. I'm perfect in God's sight. God loves me so much. That was his equity. It always redeems the law from doing an injustice. An injustice would be the reason he created everybody and wrote his name on you. Everybody here has his name on you. That's your conscience. And he wrote there and said, I am not wanting to punish anybody. I want everybody to be saved. It's in the 18th chapter. It's also in the 33rd, the one I'm reading right now. It's all over that God has never, ever thought, I'm going to be mean to my people today. Some of the people I created, I want to be mean at them. No, he's never had that. He's only had save everybody. Yeah. He wanted to save everybody, but he doesn't use force. So since he can't force you, everyone makes their own decision about who they are, where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here. Everybody. And God will not decide that for anybody. He just made an offer, Jesus. That's the offer right there, Jesus. So if you have Jesus, you got everything.
Hallelujah.
If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Wow, that is good news. I tell you what, that is good news. Amen? Well, I have that. I have that. How did you do it? I didn't. I just stopped laboring and just did what he said. I was never a good laborer anyway. We're not talking about outward. I'm talking about inward. I never wanted to please God, never wanted to make a sacrifice, never wanted to give up anything. I wanted everything for myself. Is anyone else born that way? Well, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which is the equity, what he originally intended. But you'll get it because of faith. And if I give it to you, go out and tell other people about this.
Amen.
Hey, let me give you the hope that's in me. I want to share that. And sometimes you don't even have to say it. They just see the smile on your face and they say, why are you happy? Things are awful. What about North Korea? What about this and that and so on and so forth? I don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Why? Because every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. So I can go anywhere in the world, and I'll meet believers. It can be like Nigeria today. That's a sad place because the president is persecuting Christians. But I have four Israeli sons, and I think one of them is a daughter. And
not Israeli.
Was one not? Oh, did I say that? I said wrong. Okay. Forgive me, God. How many know God will forgive you for anything? Because He likes you. He's your Father in heaven. He likes you. Anyway, I love it. So everything is going my way.
Amen.
And thank you for giving me the perfect wife that can spot everything I do wrong. That is perfect. And she's quick too. I mean, right away. You exaggerated here. You said this here. I'm kind of like Trump. I just say whatever comes to my mind. That's why I like him, because he's just a jerk like I am. How many know that he loves jerks? Because that's all he has. That's all he has. All of us have fallen short of the glory. But He supplies it for free. It doesn't even cost any money.
Jesus.
Everything's free in heaven. No taxes, no charges on anything. He just speaks, there it is. So God, could you say apple? I'm wanting an apple. And it just, yeah, apple for Jim. There it is. It just supply. Amen? Isn't it powerful? Now sometimes people, He uses people too. So, okay, praise God. But I expect anything good, and I don't care that I see it. I don't want to see it. I just think everything's fine. Everything's great. Zippity-doo-dah.
Hallelujah.
Zippity-a. Amen. I love it. I love it. Okay, next verse. Yet you say, am I in the right verse? I forget where I am. Okay, 15. I will feed my flock. It doesn't say you. It doesn't say you're cooperating. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. It's like the Lord's prayer. I is Jesus. It's God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, saith the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim. I will seek that which was lost. Remember Jesus said that? And bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken. And I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and strong. In other words, the shepherd is not supposed to eat the sheep. And those are the ones he always wants to eat. So the shepherd's supposed to take care of the sheep and, you know, ready them and give them good pasture, but he's not supposed to eat them. How many know some pastors eat their sheep? I mean, I'm sure we have people from all backgrounds and so on and so forth. And it doesn't matter. However you get them, I'm not going to turn anyone away, because you can. A lot of people come and only get a message or two. They say, now we understand what he's saying, and then they leave and go somewhere else. That's great. I was a hospital for a day, you know, maybe it was an in-out patient thing, and it's great. And I never know how many congregations I'll run through before Jesus comes back again. But I like the small ones that we have. I really do. Because I don't have as many problems as the big ones. So it's easy to deal with a few perverts and weird people and, well, no problem. I just hand everybody over to Jesus. I pray for you every day. Help Dan. Help Karen, you know. He's good. How many know God is good? Are you enjoying everything you're doing in this world?
Amen.
Everything you're doing is on God's behalf. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. In other words, he's able to distinguish what belongs to him and what doesn't. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but now you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? Don't do that. And to have drunk of the deep waters, but yet you must foul the residue with your feet. In other words, your walk. He's talking about behavior. He's not talking about sheep feet. He's talking about your behavior. He's talking about my flock. He's talking about the people of Israel. And also, he's talking about everybody. Wherever you've been driven, whatever sufferings you've encountered, praise God for it. Thank God for all the problems you have.
Amen.
Thank God.
Thank
I have
God.
A million problems. They're overwhelming.
Amen.
When your heart is overwhelmed, what God did, look to God, because he will lead you to the rock that is higher than you, which is Word, which is the Word of God. Not just the written Word, but the living Word that the written Word is all about. So I'm never sad because everything's going my way. I really believe it, so I'm not trying to be happy. I just am because of all the promises he's made.
Amen.
So everything is going my way. I love it. Let's see, where am I? And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. In other words, they can give disease to one another and all those problems. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I myself, will judge between the fat cattle and the lean cattle. In other words, don't even worry about whether you're fat or lean. Just trust God. Because you have thrust with the side and with the shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd, Jesus, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now here he's not talking about David, but he is, because Jesus is, it's his ancestor, David. So Jesus is coming back as a king. In fact, he was born as a king. And then, but they killed him before he got to be king. Just before he got to be king, they caught him at 33 and killed him. So he was about to be inaugurated king, and the bad people did that. They wanted to kill him. And so the Jews did that. And Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They have no idea. I'm their only hope. And they're killing me. Forgive them. Don't hold that against them. Ah, that's a true Christian. Christians forgive their enemies. I know there's some of you people, you might have a mother or father you don't like, or brothers and sisters, or friends, or whatever. Ah, forgive them. Just forgive them.
Amen.
Just say with your mouth, I forgive you, Alice, or Bill, or whatever their name is. I forgive you, bad mother that you were. I forgive you for that. If you forgive people, it's over.
That's right.
Now you might have to say it two or three times, maybe 50,000 times. But if you say it, pretty soon you're praying for them. You want them to be blessed and they're to be forgiven and cleansed and all that kind of stuff. And pray for them. Why? Because they're ignorant. They're ignorant. That doesn't mean they're not smart. It just means they're ignorant of the truth of this gospel, which we have. And we're living it. Share it with people. We were with a lot of lawyers yesterday, judges, and I sat down at the table, and they started complaining, and so I said, "Why complain? Everything's going our way. Why complain about anything? Everything's going our way."
Yeah.
It was a great conference. We had 400 or 500 people. It was great. In the what is it called? The Coliseum or whatever it's called. what do you call it, conference, whatever, where were the big place that we have? Convention Center. Yeah, that's where it was. It holds tons of people. But anyway, we were there, and it was great. Every speech was good. I mean, everything was beneficial. It was really awesome. And I will set up one shepherd over them, Jesus, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince, a king, among them. And I, the Lord, hath spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Now, Jerusalem, if you translated the first three letters of Jerusalem, J-E-R, and even you, it all means God, okay? So God's light, it's Ru-Salem, okay? Salem means peace. God's light always brings peace. God's light, which is Jesus, I'm the light of the world, he is peace, and he's living in you. Now you're the light. You're the light, and you're not revealing yourself because you didn't do anything. You're revealing Jesus. Wow, that's your purpose in life, right there. Reveal Jesus in everything you say and do and think. Wow, that's all he wants. Don't reveal yourself as great and awesome. Humble yourself. Reveal Jesus. So when people compliment you, just say, it wasn't me, it was just Jesus. He's blessing me all the time. So don't thank me. I didn't do anything. Whatever was done, that was Jesus. He has the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. He has then the meekness. He has then the faithfulness. He has then the self-government, self-governing people. We govern ourselves, not by our government, by his government. He's our governor. Did you know God governs Texas? God is the government of the people. He is the governor of all nations and all peoples anywhere in the world. He's not just your personal savior. He governs everything. You think Un is able to do anything? No. Un will just do whatever God wants. Just like the Pharaoh. He said, I'm not going to let him go. And they said, no, you will let him go, and because we're going to have a contest between you and God, and we're God's people, and so, you know, we'll win. And then when you win, you'll be asking for blessing. So the last thing that he said when they actually left was, hey, and bless me also. And they said, and you'll do it voluntarily. Help. No pressure. It's just that, you know, you don't have any, you don't have all those contests we just won. So I destroyed your crops. I destroyed I destroyed everything you have. Every God you've ever believed in didn't come through. I am God. And then Pharaoh recognized that. Isn't that neat when the world actually recognizes Christians? That we're free. And we didn't do anything. All we did is nothing. We didn't do anything. We didn't perfect ourselves. We didn't love God with all our heart and soul and strength. He did. We didn't love our neighbor as ourselves. He did. We didn't perfect ourselves. He did. He did everything, and he's always going to do everything. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll just give it to you for free.
Amen.
I like that. You can say that every morning when you wake up. You know, it's like, hey, relaxed day. Everything's going my way. Well, I hope you're blessed this morning.
Praise the Lord.
God is good. I'm only encouraging you, have a good time.
Amen.
Have a good time. Comfort yourself.
Yeah. Amen.
Just say to yourself, Jesus loves you, and then put your name in there. Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves
you. Jesus loves you. Yeah. Why? Because it works. You are so beloved of God. You have no idea that the God of the universe loves you personally. He wants a relationship. Does Allah? No. Does Buddha? No. Too much belly. He can't do it. So what, the other gods are no gods at all. They've never been gods. They're just made up ancestors. Like Jupiter. Jupiter is just Japheth in the Bible. It's just a person. And these persons are nothing apart from him. He created you to be dependent on God. All right. God is great. God is good.